The Lord says today that His sheep are His. They hear His voice. They know Him. They follow Him. These are teachings which we will have again recapitulated for us in the season of Easter when we dwell upon the Sunday of the Good Shepherd. But our Lord holds His chosen ones firmly in His hand. They remain there. And so what is that thing which keeps us most firmly within the hands of God? What is that way in which we ourselves are able to stay where our Lord has called us to be, under His protection, held within His palm? What is it that keeps our connection to Him strong, so we can remain with Him as He wishes to remain with us? It is the greatest privilege which we have. It is the greatest tool that we possess. It is also by far the most difficult thing that we do. It is the content of by far the vast number of teachings that we give you here from this pulpit. It's prayer. Prayer is that which allows you and I to remain firmly within God's hand. Prayer is which allows us to abide in Him, so too as He abides in us. What is prayer? Prayer, as it's written in the classic catechism, is a raising of the mind and the heart unto God. That's what prayer is. A raising the mind and the heart unto God. And the heart that we speak of this in this way should not be misunderstood as to mean merely the emotions. What it does is it sums up the whole of our Catholic doctrine. See, the essence of prayer is that I raise my mind up to God, that greatest gift which God has given me, to reason toward Him. And so I turn my attention away from every other thing, and so I am able to empty my mind of every other thought and give my whole mind wholly over to God, to be filled only by God, so that nothing, literally nothing, stands for the moment between my soul and Him. That's what prayer is, in this raising the mind and the heart unto God. When I raise my mind to God so that I can gain a new knowledge of God, this is study. That's not prayer. That's not what we're doing when we're praying, to gain a new knowledge of God by raising our mind to Him. It's not that. That's for the sake of study. Nor is it for the sake of any satisfaction or reward that I might receive from God. But when we pray, when we truly pray, when we really pray, it's an act of homage whereby I make a return to God. What I do is I seek to raise the veil that covers over my mind, raise it in such a way so that I can make a return to God, unveiling my mind to His presence for Him, to do with my mind, my heart, the center of my being, whatever it is that He wants to do. That is, I'm not the determiner of what happens. This is what real prayer is. In that moment, God works unhindered upon the soul of a man, just as you and I are called to be. Friends of God. Friendship with God is the greatest of the gifts which God gives us. So in a union, the union that we have there is a secret union. It is a silent union. And so we have to enter into secrecy and enter into silence in order to have this gift of prayer that God wishes to impart upon His chosen ones. And whether God speaks or He does not speak, it doesn't matter. The fact is this, is that He is equally there in either case, whether He speaks or whether we don't hear His voice speaking to us. He's there all the same. There, as the object of my faith, of my hope, and of my love, He is present. And that's the key of prayer. Prayer in this way is an adherence of my will to the very life of God that moves ceaselessly within me, even though that life may no longer manifest itself to my consciousness through the effects that can be seen or heard or felt. Such manifestations are the flames that exist in prayer. But whether they come or not, the life, the fire from whence they come, persists ceaselessly, because that's God's life living within the soul. Prayer is supposed to be the one occupation of the soul that is actually worthwhile. Nothing else matters. So we should dedicate ourselves all the more to that one single solitary knowledge, that one single solitary act, which is the raising of our mind and our heart to God. That's what we call prayer. And it is most effective of all towards what is sometimes called a progress in virtue, that is, living our lives out. So our life becomes a prayer in this way. There's a man by the name of Father Innocent de la Masson, a French religious. a Carthusian. He says this about prayer. He says, in all that concerns the practice of the virtues, I believe that the more practical progress is made by those who set about the task with an understanding of their own nothingness in God's sight, an humble plea for his help, than by 100 repetitions of good resolutions. So progress in practicing the virtues necessary for the holy, humble following of God. Greater progress is made toward this in a real and achievable way by those who set about the task of understanding that they have nothing, that we are nothing in God's sight, a real only that we are just beggars for God's mercy, for this humble plea than by saying, God, I'm going to do stuff. God, I'm never going to go back there again. God, I'm not going to reach for that thing anymore. To say, God, I can't even make a resolution like that because I know I can't keep it. So will you just do it for me? That's the abandonment that makes all the more progress. This is what prayer is. It's necessarily a reminder of the truth that God is the author of all things and that we are wholly and completely, utterly dependent upon him. We're not practitioners of the Catholic faith. We're beggars who are given this beautiful gift, which is the Catholic faith. And so whenever we ask God of anything, anything of God, what we're doing by that asking is proclaiming our dependence upon him, our own nothingness, and so that we are subject to him. So I'll give you one thing that I probably forgot to explain in our conference on prayer that we had a few weeks ago. I prayed it for you. I didn't explain it. So how can we make sure that our prayer is at least disposed toward a little more progress, that we actually attain the grace that we're seeking in prayer? Is to pray like this. This is the way we always begin our meetings when we meet. Take you about 30 seconds to maybe a minute if you spend long on it. That is to say, God, I know you're here. Pause 5 or 10 seconds. Rest in that. Then turn again and say, God, I, your servant, or I, your handmaid, am here. Again, rest in that for another 5 or 10 seconds. Then to turn to him once again and to say, Lord, help me to see you, to sense you, to know you inside of me. And after pausing that space again, Lord, help me to see that I am seen, felt, and known inside of you. And after that pause, to turn to him and to say, Lord, in the visible things which you and I hear and discuss, the content of prayer, help me to understand, to perceive your invisible realities. That is to say, God, what I'm doing right now, if you want me to get something out of it, I want to get something out of it. And anytime you find yourself distracted, pushed aside, off in some other far field, no matter how far flung it may be, you can call yourself back to prayer using that same method. And verily, if you were to spend the entirety of your holy hour, the entirety of your prayer period, merely repeating that over and over again, it will not be fruitless. It will always be full. Because what is prayer? Is the raising of our mind and our heart to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.